For the Kansas City Chiefs, 14 consecutive wins. That's seventh best in NFL history. But it's a culture that started all the way back in 2013, but it's been improved by the year. This week on Defending the Kingdom, we will look at Brett Veach Never Sleeps 2.0, a culture enhanced, but it's also Bronco Week. And as always, Defending the Kingdom brought to you by Ticketmaster.
Off Kareem Hunt, right side, powering, he is, give it to him, touchdown, Kansas City, it's a walk-off touchdown.
Hi everyone, I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. Yes, it is the Salute to Service game. The Chiefs will play Sunday at noon. We have a noon game at I know. It's what? We're playing at noon on a Sunday, and it'll be the Salute to Service game. Always exciting, but oh, I love the way that this franchise was really kind of set the example for the rest of the National Football League long ago in starting this tribute in Salute to Service for those who have served in the past or currently serving and to encourage those to serve in the future.
Yeah, it's really cool. We're lucky to be right in the middle of the country, and there is a bunch of world-famous military institutions kind of nearby. Whiteman Air Base is one of the most famous ones, but also Fort Leavenworth, not too far away. Fort Riley, not too far away out in your neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. So, and we've been to these military bases. We've had these service members come here for games, stuff like that. We've had a chance to really get to know them and meet them. It's what it's all about. If it wasn't for them and their sacrifices, we couldn't be doing what we're doing. So it's awesome that we have a game to honor and celebrate them. We do that every day, but this particular game is of particular importance.
I like what you said about the importance of these military installations. Fort Leavenworth is Command General Staff College, where our allies are trained. It's called the West Point of West Point. If you want to be a general in the United States Army or of the other branches, you're going to spend time at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Fort Riley, home of the Big Red One, the 1st Infantry Division, one of the most famous military units in all of world history. You mentioned Whiteman Air Force Base, home of the B-2 bomber, and that group. McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, which is the chemical warfare, military police, engineers. I've been a part of the 5th Engineer Battalion there down through the years, and I'm going to leave somebody out here. The Coast Guard Pace Center's in Topeka, Kansas. Like the Coast Guard? I mean, where's the nearest coast? Well, if you're going to get paid in the Coast Guard, you're going to get paid through folks in Topeka, Kansas who show up every year at training camp. All of the branches, honored. During Salute to Service. And I like this.
Yeah.
I'm going to show some of my Army bias here. Looks like the 10th Mountain Division. Remember the Army-Navy game when Army came out in
yes.
uniforms like this?
You
like
love
the,
that, don't
the
you?
The 10th Mountain Division. And it was snowing that day.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome. You study the history of the 10th Mountain Division? Oh, my goodness.
And I'll add one more thing, too. When I went over to Germany last year before our game, because I was over there for a week to kind of rile up support and excitement, we went to a couple of military bases over there, including Ramstein Air Base, which is like a city. It's incredible. It's like 50,000 Americans in the middle of Germany. What was cool, though, is I was with Dante Hall, and he would do like autograph sessions. And because there are so many like military bases around this area, people that would be stationed at Whiteman or Fort Leonard Wood or Leavenworth, if they came from a place and they didn't really have a team, they'd be near Kansas City and would kind of get into the culture and everything. And then they move on, but would stick as Chiefs fans. And there were so many people I met in Germany who were from somewhere else. They never even have been to Kansas City besides their time in the service. But they were like, I just became a Chiefs fan and I've been a Chiefs fan ever since. So really cool.
Yeah, don't want to leave anybody out here, but still, some of the most important military installations in the world. And I love Ramstein in the fact that, because it's not just Salute to Service, it's also our allies. Let's be honest, the world is not a pristine place, and there are enemies of what we value. And the NATO nations, obviously, are our allies throughout the world, and Ramstein's so important where it's located, and it's importance.
Oh yeah,
and
you feel it when you're there too. You see the planes landing there, and that's protecting the world right there from Ramstein. It's incredible.
And our allies have come to the States. Rosecrans, which is the airfield in St. Joseph at training camp, the 135, the training on the 135, they come from all over the world. At training camp, there will be, if you go stay at the Stony Creek Hotel in St. Joseph during camp, you will have, during your breakfast in the morning, you will have officers training for the 135 from all over the world in St. Joseph.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
Same thing at CGSC. Honor here. Yeah, I love it. Love this. One of my favorite weeks, of course, was Salute to Service and the way that our franchise has just done so many things and does it 365 days a year. And again, in honoring our military, those who have served, serving, and encouraging those to serve in the important role that they have. So it's also about culture. And we're going to talk about enhancing the culture of what Brett Veach has done and Brett Veach's staff, because this is an undertold story, I think. The culture that Coach Reed brought here, we've talked about a lot during the offseason, on season, over the past several years, really 12 seasons of winning from what Andy Reed has done. But we're also going to dive in to the brilliance of Brett Veach and his staff. And I don't want to leave anybody out there. Mike Borgonzi, Mike Bradway, we go down the line, Tim Terry, and others. Chris Shea's amazing in what he does in crunching the numbers. But still, what we're going to focus on here, and then also get you ready for Denver, because the culture will be challenged by the Denver Broncos, is the fact that Brett Veach has enhanced the culture. He has taken something that is very good and made it even better with some key additions. And I think it's very understated. So we're going to try to dive into that. But before we do so, let's go around the world.
Let's do it. I have 14 today for 14 straight wins.
Nice.
Can we take a moment and think about that? We've won 14 consecutive games. 14 straight.
Think who we've beaten on the stages that these games have been won, how the games have been won. This has not been an easy task.
No.
And beating the elite teams in the National Football League and on the road and at home and in Super Bowls and in AFC Championship games in minus 28 win chill. This has been a remarkable run.
Beating the Ravens twice, 49ers twice, Bengals twice, Chargers twice, Bills twice, Bills once, hopefully twice here in a couple of weeks. Yeah. But yeah, just remarkable. Also, this is kind of fun. You know, we're 8-0, only 8-0 team in the NFL. Seeking our 12th consecutive winning season this week. I still feel like a season just started. But if we win this weekend, we will have locked up a 12th consecutive winning season.
All from Coach Reed.
All from Coach Reed. The Bills are the next closest team in terms of active streak at 5 straight. Now, they, of course, can lock up a 6th straight this year, but think about that. There are kids in 7th grade who are not going to know anything but Chiefs winning seasons. It gets back to your culture point. That just doesn't happen. So we got to have perspective here and remember that we are living in the golden era right now. 12 straight winning seasons is nuts. Let's go around the world. I got a bunch. I got 14. So first of all, I connected our Cambodia fans. I've done it. So Todd and Bill, they're going to link up in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. I just need a photo. That's all I ask for. Send me a photo of you guys hanging out in Cambodia. Speaking of Southeast Asia, I heard from David, who now lives in Louisville, Kentucky, but lived in Laos for 15 years and said that during that time, he did not miss a single Chiefs game. And that was in the early 2000s. So it was a lot harder than it is now. It's still hard now, but like you can find it online. Like back then, a lot harder.
But think of the time in Laos when the game is played.
Mm-hmm. He told a cool story. He sent me a long note. It was a great read. He said that the no punt game against the Colts in 2003, he basically convinced this restaurant to stay open just for him.
In Laos.
And he watched the game. He was the only one in there. And he said the river was just going right by. It was so peaceful and quiet. And he watched the no punt game. And he said he maybe woke up everyone in the village when Dante Hall had his kickoff return for a touchdown. Of course, didn't go our way, but I admire that he watched every single game for 15 years in Laos.
He didn't jump into that river after the game, did he?
He didn't, no. If we had won, maybe he would have.
Yeah.
In celebration. Making up for all those years now, though, aren't we?
It's a steering wheel stare for me, though.
Okay. I know, but still.
Yeah,
gotcha. We're making up for it now. I met Tony in the elevator at the stadium on Monday. So he's an environmental cleaner in section 323 over at the stadium. Tony has written in before, and I've mentioned him before, but I actually met him in person in the elevator. It was great. Elevator open. He's like, Matt, what's up? And I met Tony. So that was great. Shout out to you, Tony, and your wife as well. Got an update from Paul and Hutchinson. You were wondering what high school he is from. Yeah. He is a Bueller Crusader.
Oh, yeah. in the northeast part of, and Buehler's had a great tradition, both men's and women's athletics in high school, and have gone on, and great folks. So, yeah, Buehler Crusaders, although they are the archenemy of my wife's alma mater, the McPherson Bull Pups.
Ooh, okay.
Not Bulldogs,
Bull Pups.
Yeah.
Bull Pups, okay.
Yeah, those two have collided many times.
All right, now we know. Bruce is in Liberal, Kansas.
Yeah.
Where's Liberal?
Okay. Kansas is a rectangle,
mm-hmm.
200 miles by 400 miles, basically. Liberal's way down in the southwest corner.
Okay.
It's on the Oklahoma border. You know, I talked about Elkhart, Kansas, where the west end of town is Colorado, and the south end of town is Oklahoma. Liberal's not that much, but close.
Okay.
And they've had great players. Lamar Chapman played in the league, played at K-State, was an NFL player. Jeremy Tooman was a tight end, played at Michigan. He had a good NFL career. So Liberal has had an impact on the National Football League.
Okay. Well, shout out to Bruce and Liberal. Carol is from Minneapolis. I love Minneapolis. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, there's Minneapolis, Kansas, home of the Lions. George Washington Carver was there.
Of course you know that.
Yeah.
No, Carol is from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I love Minneapolis. It's a wonderful place. Met my wife there. So shout out to my uncle,
my favorite uncle, 80 years young, just yesterday. He is a dual citizen of the Chiefs Kingdom and the Skoll Nation.
And, you know, that's okay. I understand.
Sure, it
that.
Is.
That
There's
is okay.
a lot of it. All my cousins up there.
Yeah.
They have, and they're all around the cities, almost in a 360 around the cities, carry their dual citizenship cards. Paul Allen, who's the voice of the Vikings,
yeah.
I've been on with him many times. And when I get on with him, we celebrate this dual citizenship of fans who will slap the hands and skull, but also our card-carrying, red-blooded Chiefs Kingdom members. It's just when the two meet.
Yeah.
You have to make a decision.
Like Super Bowl IV, what happened in your family?
Well, a lot of them weren't born then. for my uncle, he was purple in that game.
Okay.
So, yeah.
He has to live with that. Yeah.
And his wife, my aunt. So last year, we play the game
mm-hmm.
in U.S. Bank Stadium in the Twin Cities. All of my cousins are in red.
I love it.
My uncle, red. My aunt, won't do it.
Won't do it.
She was purple.
And
she
I respected it.
She goes, can't do it. Can't do it. I know about the whole, you know, blood's thicker than water and all that. Can't do it. She wore purple.
I respect it. It's kind of like my father-in-law is a diehard Broncos fan, and yeah. he supports me. My mother-in-law is fully converted to being a Chiefs fan. Ellie, obviously, is fully a Chiefs fan. But I respect that he's like, listen, I'm happy for you. But he's a Broncos fan. It is what it is. I respect it. I'd be the same way if it was the other way around.
Also respect he's a fan of the Waukini Golden Eagles.
Yes, he is.
True.
Go Golden Eagles. we're totally off track now.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
But
sleep deprivation, that's what this is.
Yeah, because
no sleep.
We're shooting this on Tuesday. We slept like 3 hours last night.
Yeah.
Paul Allen's great at what he does.
He's incredible.
His booth, it kind of reminds me of what like you and I are like when it comes to the games. Like he's like a fan, you know, and there are announcers around the league and people around the league that cover their teams for the teams that it's just a job. But for you and me, it is not just a job. It's like a way of life, and it's that way for them too. So I respect that.
He has the love covenant, he calls him. So, yeah.
It's very cool. Sticking to Minnesota, heard from a fan in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Ooh. Shout out to you. We have a listener who was born and raised in L.A. but now lives in Atlanta but has been a fan for years. A listener in Massachusetts, been a fan for over 30 years. Jack reminded me that it's Madera Ranchos, California, not Madera Rancheros. I think I was thinking of Huevos Rancheros when I said that one.
You got that one, buddy. That's all on you.
Madera Ranchos, California. Thank you, Jack. Ken is in the Waikolo Village on the Big Island of Hawaii. That's cool.
Way cool.
I want to go there. That sounds great.
How far from Hilo?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Let us know. How far are you from Hilo?
They had
the volcano there.
The Waikolo Village.
Yeah, I want to go to the Big Island.
Yeah, so do I. We should go together.
Yeah.
Another Ken, so not the Ken in Hawaii, another Ken is in Atwi, northern Uganda. That's a new one for us. Uganda.
Love
Pretty
that.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. Chiefs Kingdom in Uganda. Nick and Mary are checking in from the Tri-Cities in Washington. Love the Tri-Cities. I, of course, would go out there when I worked for the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes. We'd play the Tri-Cities Dust Devils. Not sure if they're still around, but if they are, go Dust Devils.
Classics.
Yep. They made it to the game in Vegas and even met Dante Hall, which they had a great time. Dante is an awesome guy, so I'm glad you got to meet him.
He shows up everywhere.
He's everywhere. I'm talking to him on Thursday because he's in Germany right now doing a Salute to Service like tour with the USO. So Dante's the best X Factor. Larry is in New York. Nick is in Guam. Yeah, and he said, much like Perth, he's up super early to watch the games, but the time shift this past weekend helps. I don't know about you. You were busy, so I don't think this happened to you, but Sunday was like the longest day of all time for me because of the time change. You had things going on, though.
Well, but if you're in Guam, you're close to the international dateline,
yeah.
And so it gets really confusing for out there.
Yeah, it does. But shout out to you, Nick. We have a listener from Wichita who now lives in South Korea. They said a 2 p.m. game in Kansas City is a 4 a.m. game in South Korea. If you have tips on things to do in South Korea and just in general, let me know, because I'm planning a trip there for not this year but next year. So let me know what to do.
Your wife is Korean.
She is, yeah. She was born in South Korea and adopted out of South Korea. We're going to go back for the first time since she was adopted out of there when she was 6 months old, and I cannot wait, but I don't know what I'm doing. So let me know what to do, how to get around, all that stuff. I'll take any suggestions.
Super excited for that trip.
It's going to be super cool. Yeah. And then lastly, heard from Ryan, and he wanted to give you a shout-out because he said after the Saints game, he was at the game, he shouted at you and said he was from Colby, Kansas.
Yep, of course, home of the Eagles.
Yeah, and also home of the Oasis on the Plains.
Yeah.
Yep. But you turned around and
said...
And
the Colby Community College Trojans, too. So let's don't leave out the Colby Community College Trojans.
But he appreciated, like, you know, when you're on the field, I bet it was after field pass or something, a million people around, it's loud, you got a job to do. But he shouted at you that he was from Colby. You turned around and said, home of the Eagles. And that meant a lot to him. And that's why you're the best. So he wanted to give you a shout out. That is all I've got today. That might have been the most off the rails around the world segment we've ever done, but that was fun.
And he's not from Greenfield or Gove, which makes up the Wheatland Shockers, which actually have tied in now with Grinnell to be the Greenfield, Gove, Wheatland Titans or something like that. Thunderhawks.
Okay, that's a cool one.
Yeah, consolidated schools.
I just love the Oasis of the Plains because we'll be driving out to Denver to visit my wife's family, stop at the Oasis, you get some food. There's a dog park there.
Yep.
I just hang out. Life is good. They have the metal palm trees.
I know. I love it.
It's great.
Pip, been there many times. Pip likes that place.
Oh, she loves it. Yeah. Dog park in the middle of Kansas on the middle of our drive.
Okay. 10 plus 10 points if then you take Pip to a Colby Eagle, a Goodland Cowboy football game.
We got to. Get her a bandana and everything.
My gosh. Yeah. Let's go. Orange and black.
All right. We're like 20 minutes in and haven't talked about football at all.
No, but we're going to jump into culture enhancement. What has been impressed on the two of us, and again, Brett Veach does an amazing job, and his staff, and I know I'm going to leave lots of folks out. We try to dive into the offseason, into those folks, the unseen heroes of this franchise. But Brett Veach just does not sleep. He does not stop. We have seen now what he has done in just recent times. But I'm going to focus on five guys. Because this culture is, I really think, and I was talking to Joe Buck about this Monday night. I even saw Kevin Harlan said, and Kurt Warner. I said, name a culture right now of the big four professional sports that's better than the Kansas City Chiefs. Look at the NFL. I mean, look at the NBA. Look at the NHL. Look at Major League Baseball. Not just the consistent winning, but how they're winning it, how they're doing it, and the superstars and their personalities. Coach Reed's personality. What Patrick's like. What Kels is like. But it has been enhanced by Brett Veach and what he has done. And let's start with Justin Reed. March the 17th, 2022, former Houston Texan, Justin Reed joins the fold. 32-9 in the regular season since he's been here, 7-0 in the playoffs, 219 tackles. But more than that, the guy, again, if you can find the audio of the Chiefs Kingdom show from the Monday prior to the game that we played, a week prior to the game that we won against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, listen to Justin Reed, an amazing human being, so smart, but he has enhanced this culture and made it even better.
One thing that stood out to me about him right away in his first training camp with us a couple years ago is he had just gotten paid, right? And there are some players across the league that they get paid and that kind of goes to their head a little bit. And they're just like, we just got to show up, right? And I'm a really good player. I don't have to worry about getting better every day. That's like the total opposite of Justin Reed. He showed up here on the first day like he was a rookie trying to make the team, even though he had just signed a big deal. And he immediately wanted to be a leader and a guy who could be a role model for the younger players. And at that point, we had a lot of young players in that 2022 draft class. And he talked about how he wanted this to be an attitude defense. And I asked him about this a couple days ago. think about how this defense has been so important to the last two title runs and, of course, to our run this year as well. The attitude defense has become a thing. It's the best defense in the NFL, and he talked about it before it became a thing. He wanted this thing to evolve into what it is now, and he's one of the main reasons it's become this. And it really has its roots in just being a player who got paid, who wanted to show everyone else, hey, I want to be part of something special here. And he would write things like like little notes on his arms, on his wristband, to remind himself of stuff. Like, hey, even though I just got paid, I'm not perfect. I'm not a finished product. I want to get better every day. I remember these things in training camp, and it's just so cool to see how this defense has become what it is now, and he's a big reason why.
I met his dad. I met his uncle. It was last year, I think, in Baltimore. Right before the AFC Championship game, met his cousins. It's an incredibly impressive family. But Justin Reed has made this a better place. Another one is Drew Tranquil. March the 21st, 2023. Tranquil, since that time, 19-5 in the regular season, 4-0 in the playoffs, 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 124 tackles, 8 tackles in that AFC Championship game against Baltimore. But even more than that, the perspective that he's brought to make the subculture of the defense, because when you're talking about Justin Reed, it's a subculture within a bigger culture, and then that gets microed down even to your position group. But when Drew Tranquil walked into the building, this was a better place. Again, humble approach, not the smartest guy in the room. What can I do to make this place better? And we've seen that manifested.
I mean, just the ultimate steal. I mean, we got him on like a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. There was no one else in the building here because on Fridays in the off season, sometimes it clears out in the afternoon. And I was at my desk just working on some stuff. And we signed Drew Tranquil. I'm like, what? Because we knew a lot about Drew because of his time in L.A.
Faced him eight times in 4 years.
Yeah. And he's just been such an important player for us over the last couple years. And I love that he loves it here. Mm-hmm. And he loves it here, loves the atmosphere, loves that it's kind of like a Friday Night Lights high school football vibe in Kansas City. And we have the benefit of going all over the country to watch the Chiefs play. And there are some places that are like that. Buffalo's kind of like that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cities where the NFL team and the game on Sunday is just another thing happening. And some people are into it, but most aren't. Well, in Kansas City, even if you don't like football, even if you don't root for the Chiefs, you know what's going on with the Chiefs game. You might have a Chiefs shirt in your closet because it's just what you do here. And I think Drew Tranquil loves that. I also remember when he first did his tour of the stadium, his wife asked, like, this is a big stadium. Like, does it fill up? And he's like, oh, yeah. Like, right away, he was like the Chiefs expert. He's like, oh, yeah, this thing gets real full. Like, it's so loud. I can't wait. And it's just so cool to me that he wanted to be a part of this, and now he's been a part of not just this team, but 2 straight Super Bowl champions, and hopefully a 3rd straight here this year.
Awesome dad, awesome husband, and just so cool that he's just soaking this in. The tears in his eyes after winning that Super Bowl said everything about him, but he has enhanced the culture. In recent times, this is really recent now, of what Brett Veach has done to, again, Veach Never Sleeps 2.0, enhance the culture. Samaje Perine, August the 30th, 2024, the so-called Chiefs killer becomes a Chief. 8-0 since he's joined us. We know about the touchdown running against the Chargers. But in 17 targets, 13 catches, 5 catches for first downs in the last 3 games. The Chiefs are now number 1 in the NFL in third down conversions. I don't think it is any coincidence the fact that since Samaje Perine has morphed into this system and this offense, that the Chiefs have become the best on third down, because many have argued down through the years, at least in recent years, that Perine has been at least one of the top 5 third down backs in this league. He's thrilled to be here. He has also enhanced the culture, not just football, but in the hallway.
We were so excited when we got Samaje
Perine.
Like, just so fired up. And we're seeing kind of why we are fired up now, because he's such a weapon on third down. You know, since week 7, the Chiefs are 32 of 48 on third down, 67%, best mark in the NFL. They're also 11 for 13 in the red zone in terms of touchdown efficiency. And Samaje is a big part of that. Chiefs have kind of developed into this ball control style of offense. And when you can finish on third down, finish in the red zone, you're very difficult to beat because teams can't get you off the field. And Samaje plays right into that mentality. Can I add one more that's not necessarily just this season, but has been the last couple of years?
Sure.
It'd be Justin Watson. We don't talk about Justin Watson enough, but Justin Watson's the kind of player who, when he signed with this team a couple years ago, in like May or June. No guarantee of a roster spot. I mean, it wasn't one of those things where it's like, all right, you can pencil him in day one as a starter for the Chiefs, but he earned everything that he has. I mean, he's earned his spot on this team, earned a role, and earned the trust of Patrick Mahomes. And think about on Monday, he had 3 catches for 43 yards, 2 catches moved the chains on third down, just a solid, reliable player. That's where Brett Veach really wins. And Brett is obviously a great talent evaluator, hits on these first-round picks, finds Patrick Mahomes, all that. That's a big part of it. But it's also finding players like Justin Watson who can come in here with not a lot of fanfare and develop a role on this team.
The thing I remember about Justin Watson is the very first, you know, the pad OTAs.
Yeah.
Was saying, who is this guy? Because he's really fast.
Yeah.
And he can catch the ball. I mean, he was Tampa Bay, but didn't play a lot there, some. But the fact that he also is not just a chain mover, which we saw Monday night, I mean, really close to having a big touchdown. He's got two 67-yard catches to his name. But again, a culture enhancer, a man of faith, a guy that is just there every day and terrific in not just being a part of all this, he makes it better. Kareem Hunt, September 18th, 2024, 5-0 since he's been here, part of this red zone renaissance. Do you realize before this last three games, the 11 of 13, the Chiefs were tied for 28th in the league in red zone?
Yeah.
They're 12th. In 3 weeks, they've gone from 28th to 12th in red zone offense. It's nuts. Hunt, a part of that. 22 first downs in running the ball since he's been here. 5 catches for first downs. That's 27 first downs from Kareem Hunt. And we've seen him with the workload of 27, 22, 21, 27, 2 100-yard rushing games. He's moving the chains. It's 2nd and 6. It's 2nd and 5. It's 3rd and 2. Very different than we had earlier in the season. He is the happiest guy in America, other than maybe D-Hop. They're tied for number one for Mr. Happy in the world. But they have come in and enhanced the culture in such a short time. They are morphing into what we do here and how we do it, not fighting against it. Because the other side of the story, Matt, and this happens all the time in this league, and I've seen it happen in my 31 years with this franchise, you can sign guys, but they become, even if they're talented players, they become a deterrent because they get in the way of the way you do things and how you do it. And so these guys have not. They just not only fit in, they make it even better.
And they buy in. That's really the thing, particularly when players get big money or have success elsewhere. They think, like, my way works and I'm the guy. But for whatever reason, because of the culture we have here, because of what Coach Reed has done here and Brett Veach has done here, when guys come into this system, they just want to be a part of it. They don't really care what they've done before. Like, whatever they're told to do, I'm going to do that because these guys win. And that looks like fun. And we've heard free agents that have signed here tell us that over the years. Like, I want to go to that place because that looks like fun and I'll do whatever they tell me to do. And yeah, Kareem, I talked about the ball control style of offense that we're playing. Kareem is the key to it. I said it last week. Kareem's been kind of like our MVP offensively over the last several weeks because you look at those third down numbers and those red zone numbers. Kareem is right in the middle of that. Over the last 3 weeks, the Chiefs ranked 3rd in the NFL in rushing attempts with 103. You think we'd ever say that about the Kansas City Chiefs being 3rd in the NFL in rushing attempts over a certain span? But Kareem Hunt has been that guy. We were joking before the game yesterday, like, all right, they got to give Kareem a little bit of rest here tonight. Like, and you're like, yeah, like, he'll definitely get less tonight. 27 carries, 106 rushing yards, 27 tough yards on the overtime drive. What a renaissance here for Kareem. Very happy for that guy.
And a renaissance for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, here he is getting a shot. This goes back to Tranquil, never won a playoff game. Goes on the run and wins championship. I talked about Carlos Dunlap a couple years ago. Here's Kareem Hunt, who's in that same category, but here's DeAndre Hopkins. He has 2 playoff wins. He's only played in 6 playoff games, and he was in Travis Kelce's draft class of 2013. But D-Hop in just 2 games, 12 targets, the 10 catches, the 2 touchdowns on Monday Night Football. But what he has done for Travis Kelce. Kelce in the 2 games since D-Hop has been on the field has 28 targets with 24 catches. Nearly 200 yards and a touchdown. That is not a coincidence. But D-Hop has come in not going like, hey, what's this place all about? And, you know, here I am, get me the ball. He is walking around as the happiest guy in America, too. What can I do to help us win? Exhibit A, was his block to allow Mecole Hardman on a one-man screen to get a double-digit play on a quick rise-up and throw. But D-Hop's block was spectacular. It's not just what he has done with his catches. It's the ripple effect in how he's helping this entire team. He has enhanced this culture in a short period of time.
D-Hop and Kels on Monday combined for 22 catches, 186 yards, 11 first downs, and 2 touchdowns. D-Hop in that game by himself had 8 catches for 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. 5 of his 8 catches went for a first down, and 3 of those were on third down. A touchdown, another touchdown, and one of the most incredible 35-yard catches I think I've ever seen amidst triple coverage. I was trying to process it, and Alex Mary, who's our social media director, was sitting next to me and said, "You've got to wipe that smile off your face. Like, you look like the happiest guy on earth." And I'm like, "Did you see it? Did you see that?"
For me, it felt like it had like a 4% chance of good things happening.
Well, I actually know the exact number according to Next Gen Stats. I don't know how they compile this. It had a 12.3% chance of being completed. And that seems high, doesn't
it? That's too high.
Yeah.
That's way too high. Because I'm calling it going, that's going to be a picked. And then somehow D-Hop comes down with a 35-yard catch. But, again, his impact.
Well, you know what that does, too, is it builds trust. Because now Patrick knows, oh, okay. So you're saying if I'm in a tough situation, the pocket is collapsing, and D-Hop is down there, and there's three guys around him, he doesn't need to be open because D-Hop is D-Hop, and he can go up and get the football. That's a big deal.
Big deal. The culture will be challenged this week by Denver. We're going to get into more detail. Find us on Kingdom Conversations. We'll talk about Denver and give them the respect they deserve.
Yeah.
But for this episode, and know this, that culture can be destroyed or deterred because of players that you sign. But it's the brilliance of Brett Veach and his staff. This culture has been enhanced and made better, even better, by the players that Brett Veach has added, not only over the years, but over the last several weeks.